Losses on bonds are really piling up. Radical changes in the marketplace about the prospect for rate cuts. The market is finally agreeing with the Fed about the strong, resilient economy, the prospect for a soft landing, even a touch of resurgent inflation fears. What is really going on in interest rates right now? According to most people, it seems, certainly the financial media, they're surging. Losses are piling up. Yet none of that is true. None of it. Bond yields have barely moved in almost 2 months, just like the typical pattern. Ever since the bond rally last year, I told you what happens. Interest rates go slightly higher to mostly sideways and do so for several months. And that's exactly what they've done. They're sticking to the traditional pattern, which is itself a key signal and one that is not in agreement with everything that I said at the introduction here. And that's backed up by a critical commodity-based measure, as well as commodities themselves, which is very close to a new multi-year low. And when this measure gets to a multi-year low, that's the same as what the bond market is telling us. We've got these indications that suggest that none of these things are true. Bond yields are not surging higher. The market is not repricing much of anything. The same assumptions that drove the rally last year are still there even now, short-run fluctuations notwithstanding. So before we get into this commodity-based measure, as well as what's really happening in interest rates, I do want to remind you that Eurodollar University is having its spring sale for a little bit while longer. If you ever wondered what the Eurodollar University membership is or the daily briefing, get the first month free on us. Sign up today. You get the first 30 days for free. Cancel anytime. No risk to you. We've also got good annual rates, special annual rates for both of those, as well as our best prices for the daily deep dive analysis, where we go really deep into all of these topics from the Eurodollar perspective. Tremendous savings on bundles and everything else. The spring sale, as I said, still ongoing for a little bit further. All the details at our website, eurodollar.university. According to the mainstream narrative that's being thrown around recently, something substantial and huge has changed. I'll give you an example just from today, Bloomberg. For a brief moment last week, the market and the Federal Reserve were on the same page about the pace of monetary easing. It didn't last long, and Treasury investors are paying the price. After spending much of this year making bets that were much more dovish than those of the Fed officials, investors have now flipped in the opposite direction. They're forecasting about 65 basis points of rate reductions in 2024 compared to 75 basis points signaled by the median estimate of projections released following the Fed's March 19 and 20 meeting. And this was all under the headline that screams, bond market sees fewer rate cuts than Fed, deepening losses, which suggests that the bond market, by implication, is afraid of resurgent inflation, and the Fed is going to have to become more hawkish because oil prices are up, the labor market's tight, and all the other excuses that are thrown around. Again, none of that is actually true. While bond yields are up the last couple days, that's just a fluctuation, normal market behavior. To show you what I mean, the current rate, as of just before I started recording here, for the 10-year U.S. Treasury was 4.36%. It's been a little bit higher during the day, but right about 4.36 right now. And that's the highest in 4 months. So you get all the high headlines. Highest in 4 months. But just a couple weeks ago on March 18th, the 10-year Treasury was 4.34. Go back to late February. On February 22nd, the 10-year Treasury yield was 4.33. And you can go all the way back to February 13th. The closing yield on February 13th for the 10-year Treasury was 4.31. So in that 7-week period, the Treasury yield has gone up by 5 basis points. That's hardly deepening losses in the Treasury market. And it's the same for the 2-year. The 2-year today, about 4.69. It was actually higher on the 18th. It was 4.73. It was 4.69 on February 22nd. And 4.64 all the way back on the 13th. So the Treasury market over the last 7 weeks has been largely static, with more of a downward bias than an upward bias. It is more often during these fluctuations moved down than moved up. So with Treasury yields basically being stable here, what is it that the Treasury market is telling us? Is it telling us something about rate cuts? Is it telling us something about resurgent inflation or the strong economy? The answer is yes, it's just not in agreement with any of those things. Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco President Mary Daly was at an event in Nevada just today when she said, "I think that is a very reasonable baseline," talking about 3 rate cuts for the Fed this year. "Growth is going strong, so there's really no urgency to adjust the rate." And that's the entire thing in a nutshell. The urgency to adjust rates, not just by the Federal Reserve and its policy, but also in the marketplace. Is there any urgency for rates to go far lower? Right now, it doesn't appear like there is. Thus, rates are stable. But rates being stable here are consistent with why rates were falling at the end of last year, which is the market saying we believe that over the intermediate period, conditions will be such that will lead rates to going down, and by more than just a little. The probability distribution is skewed downward, not upward. And by interest rates being stable here, that probability distribution is what it was at the end of last year, which is not immediate urgency in the marketplace or the economy or the financial system or in banking for the Federal Reserve or anything else for interest rates to start screaming quickly lower. That's not what the market's saying, and that's not what the probabilities are for the near term. At some point, things are likely to change, and that's when rates will go the next leg in the bond market, and eventually the Federal Reserve, whether it wants to or not, will follow along. Outside of the Treasury market, where would we want to turn to for corroboration? We've got other global markets like Germany or Japan or Canada or a bunch of others, but more often than not, global bonds trade in synchronized fashion. So in many ways, it's just one big global bond market. If Treasury yields are rising, chances are other yields are going to be rising too. If Treasury yields are falling, chances are other yields are too. So the global bond market, where do we look outside of bonds, rates, yields, forward yields, and things like that? Well, a good place to turn to is the commodity marketplace, because commodities are the intersection between finance and funding and the real physical world, the actual real economy. And commodity prices outside of energy and oil that are being pushed higher on geopolitics, outside of that, commodity prices are telling us exactly what stable interest rates are telling us, that the economy globally is not doing very well, that risks remain decidedly tilted to the downside. I've mentioned this quite a bit lately, but a big one is steel prices. Steel prices in China, Shanghai Steel. Steel has absolutely crashed in the face of some better than expected economic statistics from China, as well as the ongoing stimulus from Chinese authorities. Steel prices continue to drop because there is no demand to build things over there. The real estate crisis is continuing. It's still a huge problem, and it's still going to be a drag on the Chinese, therefore global economy. And being dragged down with steel is iron. That's more than just China. That's an industrial base metal that tells us something substantial about the industrial conditions across the world. Demand for goods and demand for construction and building and making things. Same goes for copper, another base metal. Copper prices have been stuck around $4 per pound simply because supply factors have changed in copper's favor. They're very price positive. In China, there's been a raw material shortage that has forced many smelters to close their production facilities. So despite that supply bottleneck in favor of copper prices are still stuck around $4. As I mentioned in the introduction, there is one measure that's commodity-based that is quite highly correlated to movements in financial markets and all of these monetary indications that we follow. And that is the copper to gold ratio. As I mentioned in yesterday's video, as you've probably heard all over financial media and social media, gold prices are setting a new high. And with gold prices going up and copper prices kind of sticking around where they are, the copper to gold ratio, which puts them upside down, has been sinking lower and lower. Early last month on March 8th, the copper to gold ratio hit its lowest since November of 2020. That's not a good sign as far as the global economy and deflationary signals are concerned. Well, over the last couple weeks, as copper has rebounded based on those supply factors and gold has gone even higher, the copper to gold ratio is very nearly its March 8th low, which suggests that this key fundamental signal is in agreement with interest rates not doing anything. To show you what I mean, let's go back and examine the copper to gold ratio during these Eurodollar cycles over the last 16 or so years. What you see is that copper to gold doesn't just correspond with something like the 30-year swap spread, which is, that's a pretty good one to begin with, but the copper to gold ratio also corresponds pretty closely, pretty nicely with the 2-year, 10-year spread on US Treasuries, which means, by and large, when you see flattening to inversion in the yield curve, negative signals, guess what you find in copper to gold? You see copper to gold start to sink, which is because copper prices are not rising or maybe falling while gold prices may be rising, which is more demand for hedging versus less demand in the real economy for that industrial commodity. It goes all the way back to 2006, before the not financial crisis even got going. In late 2006, the copper to gold ratio had peaked and the two-year 10-year spread began to do its bad steepening. So in this case, the relationship is inverse because the yield curve is steepening, but in the wrong direction or the bad direction, where short-term rates are falling faster than long-term rates are. And in June 2007, we see that bad steepening get turbocharged. The 2-year 10-year spread starts to really jump. It's the same with the copper to gold ratio, which really starts to tank after July 2007. And during that period, of course, what is the Federal Reserve doing? It's incredibly dovish, large series, sustained series of rate cuts, as well as all sorts of other quote unquote accommodative, but not really accommodative actions. Go forward to Eurodollar number 2. You see, first of all, reflation in both the yield curve as well as the copper to gold ratio. The ratio rises as the yield curve steepens out in the good direction or the bearish direction for bondholders. During 2009 and 2010. 2010, of course, is highly volatile given the circumstances at that time. But both the copper to gold ratio and the 2-year 10-year spread, they both peak in February 2011 within a matter of a few days of each other. It was February 4th for the 2-year 10-year spread and February 14th for the copper to gold ratio. From thereafter, the ratio is falling as the yield curve is flattening, as the world is experiencing liquidity pressures, a banking crisis, a downturn, a recession in Europe, a complete change to the Chinese economy, and the Federal Reserve, of course, doing QE2 during 2010, then Operation Twist in 2011, then QEs 3 and 4 in 2012. Yes, there were two more QEs in 2012. So again, copper to gold, yield curve, even the Federal Reserve, all synchronized in that direction. Eurodollar number 3, same thing. You see a near simultaneous peak again, right at the end of 2013, where everyone in the United States in particular was convinced the economy was about to take off. The yield curve starts flattening at the same time the copper to gold ratio starts sinking and the global economy starts to confound policymakers and economists. China slows down mysteriously. The US economy never actually takes off, and then in 2015 begins to look weaker. As a result, the Federal Reserve, while it did hike rates one time in December 2015, it was on hold for an entire year thereafter because copper to gold, like the flattening yield curve, indicated problems in the real economy, as well as in the monetary system too. Eurodollar number 4, 2017 and 2018. Well, this time there was a bit of a discrepancy between the yield curve and the copper to gold ratio during globally synchronized growth in 2017, but that was because the Federal Reserve was hiking rates and the yield curve was fighting against them, which meant that the curve shape was flattening out. So the 2-year 10-year spread was flattening, meaning falling. At the same time, the copper to gold ratio was rising modestly, consistent with globally synchronized growth, the modest reflation of 2017. But that all began to change in 2018. Copper to gold started to peak in January 2018, but really in June of that year. And what is the Federal Reserve doing during this time? Well, it was hawkish during 2018. Obviously, Jay Powell comes in, talks about inflation risk, rate hikes. But then in 2019, as the copper to gold ratio is really starting to fall, as the yield curve is actually beginning to invert in certain sections, not the two-year, 10-year, but up toward the front in early 2019, suddenly the Fed turns around and becomes dovish, cutting rates eventually later on in 2019, consistent with these signals in the bond market as well as the physical market. More recently, copper to gold and the shape of the yield curve, the steepness of the yield curve peaked in the middle of 2021, well before inflation got started or the supply shock did. Both of these indications suggested that it was not inflation. The yield curve began to flatten before there was even a hint of a rate hike, let alone an aggressive series of them. The marketplace was saying, eventually these high prices are going to claim, they're going to take a toll on the global economy. And the copper to gold ratio agreed with that. It has been falling, not steadily, but back and forth, just like the yield curve ever since, which only brings us up to 2024. The copper to gold ratio, as I mentioned, is very near a multi-year low, where the yield curve is at times threatening, like 2007, to move toward the bad steepening, which is consistent with the copper to gold ratio falling. So you put these two together, and what you get is the opposite of the mainstream narrative. What you hear is that bond losses are piling up, interest rates are skyrocketing, when the truth is, treasury yields have barely budged in 7 weeks. They're a few basis points higher than they were on February 13th. At the same time, the copper to gold ratio and commodity prices, non-energy commodity prices overall, are moving generally lower. Indicative, both of those things indicative of growing problems in the economy. Problems that, if they continue to accumulate and continue to move in this direction, are going to force central banks to reconsider whether or not they want to urgently cut rates. At some point, that's the discussion that's going to be had. And the bond market, like the copper market and the gold market hitting new all-time highs, which is a huge warning here, the bond market is saying, we haven't really changed our mind since the big rally last year. And as in past Eurodollar cycles and episodes, copper to gold ratio falling, the yield curve behaving the way it is right now, those are not associated with good, positive, soft landing Goldilocks types of outcomes. I sat down with Alfonso, Macro Alf, just a couple days ago, talked about risks of China, we talked about what liquidity actually is, and that's the video I've got linked below. As always, thank you very much for joining me. Reminder to check out Eurodollar University sale. Thank you to all Eurodollar University members and subscribers, especially all you new ones. And until next time, take care.